Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I got you.
My. I'm not where I ought to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm going to be where God wants me to be. I mean, that's powerful. You got to go through, saints, in order to be made. There's so much to this gospel. There's so much to our relationship with God. Until if you don't seek him through prayer, you won't know where you are. If you don't seek him through prayer, you won't know how to deal with the situations. I know Jesus paid the price. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. Praise God with his blood. That was paid for us. Amen. Dying on the cross at Calvary. But he wants you to continue on, amen, in what he did. That means that you got to obey God's command. And you say, well, the commandment was did away with, amen, praise God. And in the Old Testament, New Testament, we are under grace and truth. Amen, praise God. That's true, but at the same time, there were issues, praise God, in our lives that needed to be resolved. That's why we came in and made covenant with God. Amen. I want to give you the mind of God today because it's very important. It's not just the preaching of the gospel, but you got to live it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I bless you, Father God. Amen, for what you have done for us. I myself come in repentance for what I have done in the past or will do in the future because, amen, we are sinners. We are saved by grace. Amen. Praise God. But at the same time, we must stay before you and keep your command. Amen. Your commandments that you have made out, amen, for us to carry through, amen, by Jesus Christ. He said, I shall love the Lord thy God is the first commandment. With all thy heart, all thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Let us love one another, because, Lord God, love covers a multitude of sins. And we have been messed up, but, Father God, you're the one that comes in and you clean her up. Amen. You clean things up, amen, like it's never been done before, because this is a supernatural warfare, and it must be done in the spirit realm. Amen. And you're able to go into the spirit, amen, even into the dark world and begin to pull us out one by one, two by two. A lot of us have been held in captivity by the devil, but Jesus made it right for us. I praise you today. I really love you. I really thank you for what you're doing and what you're about to do, because I know that, Lord God, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I'm pleading the blood. I'm pleading the blood. I'm pleading the blood over me and my family so that, God, you could move in and begin to wash away, begin to restore, begin to purge, begin to heal, begin to set free and deliver us. Amen. Praise God in the name of Jesus. Saints, I want you to know that Jesus paid the ultimate price, amen, for us. He brought us out of captivity, amen. And until we get it in our minds that we're going to do right, amen, praise God, we're going to keep this salvation afloat, then we're going to constantly have issues and problems that are going to keep us and hinder us, amen, from being able to receive a lot of things. My thought today is God's promises are a twofold and sometimes a threefold thing with us, praise God, depending on what kind of background we come out of. Because, see, our forefathers before us, amen, praise God, they did a lot of things. They were idol worshipers. They were into stuff that only, praise God, God could deliver us out of. And, amen, praise God. by him sending his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said it was finished. Amen. Praise God. And he did everything that he could do on his part in order for us to be able to receive the things that we are now receiving now, because it would have been really bad. If you look at Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 to 21, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, and I'm just going to speak to you about it. God had to do a twofold, even a threefold work with Father Abraham. When he called Father Abraham out of an idolatrous nation, amen, praise God, they were idol worshipers. And not only were they idol and pagan worshipers, they did some of everything that they could do. But Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So God told him what he would do. He would bless him, even his seeds. And Abraham told him, said, well, you know, I don't have any children. Where are my seeds coming from, my servant? And God said, no, at the appointed time, your wife, Sarah, would conceive a child, and gave him his name and told him what the blessings would be bestowed upon him. But during the process of time, he said, your seed will have to go into captivity in order to be kept and not killed out. That's part of what we're going through today. If we're not up under Jesus Christ and his covenant blood, amen, praise God, the various other issues that come up that we need to work on, yes, we need to work on some things through prayer. Because Jesus Christ has paid the price, but at the same time, we got enemies out there. And our enemies that I'm talking about today are the Egyptians and the Amorites. You need to kill out them Egyptian and Amorite demons. Well, you said, well, Jesus paid the price, and God said the battle is not ours. The battle is in the spiritual realm. And in order for us to receive the blessings of that, it's through prayer and repentance and keeping God's command on our lives. And I gave you what God said. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. He said, but I come to fulfill the law. That means every commandment that God gave to Moses to write on the tablets, amen, stone in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 6 through 21, it said, number one, that you shouldn't have no other gods before you. You should love your neighbor. You should not kill, steal. And I'm not going to go through all of them because I gave you the chapter where you can go and get them. Well, that means Jesus fulfilled this for us, but yet and still, there were issues, personal issues. My issue is different from your issue, but there were personal issues in our lives that had to be resolved. Amen. Praise God. So God said, now what I'm going to do is send you in, amen, through covenant, and allow those issues to be resolved through repentance. Remember Job? Job was an upright man. He was, I mean, on top of it with God, had a perfect relationship with Father God. But at the same time, every day he would pray to God for his children so that his children, whether they cursed God or did anything, even himself, would do anything or sin against God, they were covered. Amen. And then, praise God, the way the enemy worked, amen, praise God, in the New Testament, Jesus has already fulfilled the law. Satan don't want you to serve God, so he's attacking the body. Jesus said they're going to put you out in synagogues, they're going to do this and this and that to you, but at the same time, you must keep that covenant relationship, and that's whatever it is, whatever's going to cost you, don't sin. So because of this, various issues had to come into people's lives. Amen, praise God. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Amen. And God said, you know, this is the New Testament. He said, but my grace is sufficient. So God has given us grace in the midst of what the enemy try to do. Paul said, when I try to do good, evil is always present. That means that the enemy is going to always be before you because he's looking for something. He don't want your money, but he want to steal it from you so you can't use it for the glory of God. He don't want you with a marriage, so he's going to do everything he can in order for you to sin, in order for you to get a relationship instead of keeping God's commandment. He don't want you to live right in the marriage, so he's going to cause you to commit adultery. He don't want you to do right on your job, nobody to hire you. He don't want none of those things because he know that, amen, if he keep you in poverty, you're going to search. And if God ain't moving fast enough for you or haven't healed you from various things, then he's going to go in and do the wickedness that he can do. Now, in the Ten Commandments, it said that you will be destroyed, amen, even down to the fourth generation because of your sins. That means that even though we have sinned, we are under grace and truth, yet and still at the same time, we are going to be saved. Amen. Praise God for those that repent and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. But at the same time, behind the scene, God's commandment is still, praise God, has to be invoked. It has to be carried out. It has to be obeyed. Jesus did it. We're going to have to do it. Then there is in the commandments, like I say, what we do will affect the third and fourth generation. But God said, if you keep the commandments all the way down to the tenth generation, all the way down, I mean, throughout the generations, God said, I'm blessing your seeds, I'm blessing your seeds, I'm blessing you, and I'm blessing you, because you made a covenant with God and you're keeping it. On the same time, it's a worldly thing for everybody that want to be saved, but it's an individual act that's going to keep Jesus' blood on you. It's an individual act that's going to keep you safe, and that's through prayer. So God had to go in through, amen, what he had made with Abraham. He had to go in and keep his promise. And so he told Abraham, he said, now your sons, amen, praise God, the seed of your child, amen, praise God, they're going to inherit the promised land. And when they inherit the promised land, it's because I have to keep my promise. God got to keep his promise with you. Even though we are under grace and truth, amen, he still got to work on you in order to get you to where you need to be, because somewhere down the line, in your first generation of being in existence, your grandmother, your grandfather might have made a covenant with God, but yet and still they didn't keep that covenant, and the enemy came in. That's why Jesus came, kill out the enemy, destroy the works of the enemy. In the spirit realm, we're talking about the supernatural being manifested in the natural, because that's what you're going to have to do in order to keep your third, fourth, even 100th generation, but the 10th generation, all the way through. Read the Bible, and it'll tell you that. So because of this, God had a twofold, amen, work that he had to do, even a threefold. He said, now when they go into captivity, he told Abraham, he said, I'm going to have to lead them into captivity for their protection. They're going to stay 400 years. He said, because the iniquities of the Amorites has not been fulfilled. The wickedness of the Amorites. Well, who are the Amorites? Amen. What does that have to do with me? And what? You got some Amorites, amen, that God want to get rid of. Amen. Praise God. Jesus bought you back, but you got to do right in order to stay in the protection of God, because the Amorites and the Egyptians, we're talking about those enemies today, they're out to kill you. The Egyptians, amen, praise God, they took the Hebrews, amen, Abraham's seed, and they physically, mentally, witchcraft, one of your greatest enemies, abused them to the point that they became subject to what they were supposed to overcome. And we are supposed to overcome the enemy. We're not supposed to become subject to the enemy. But Satan is a strategist. He uses all kind of strategies. And God told the church, amen, praise God, the seven churches in the book of Revelations, he said one thing, you got to return back to your first love. That's Satan's biggest strategy. And he works on the supernatural, the spirit area of your life, and try to veer your spirit man off to cause it to love. I think as 2 Corinthians tell you, seven tell you must clean up the flesh as well as the spirit. You got to work with Jesus Christ. You covenant, you got to work on your side, on your behalf, and Jesus done already worked on his behalf. So because of this here, God allowed them to go into captivity for the savings of their souls. But he also allowed, amen, praise God, amen, them to leave out with substance. Whenever you go into captivity and you keep the commandments of God, amen, one of the things that God is going to do is bless you. That's a token of his your reward as far as his covenant. And so when the Israelites did leave out after 430 years, it took 430 years for the Amorites sins to and all their wickedness to be destroyed. Amen. So after, amen, praise God, the 430 years passed by, okay, God said, okay, I done got rid of all of them down to the fourth generation of the iniquities of the Amorites. Well, who are the Amorites? The Amorites were Noah's, amen, middle son, praise God, Ham seeds. And Noah was a husbandman, and he turned around, amen, and got drunk one night, amen, and his son Ham walked in and seen him and told his brothers, and they became a curse to him. And I want to talk to you more about the flesh, because the flesh needs to die. That's what we need to die at, in the flesh, as well as the spirit man need to be resurrected from the sin for nature. It's a twofold thing as far as our livelihood and what's going on in us. So, amen, praise God. God had to come in and wait until all the Amorites just about were killed out, because they would have polluted the Israelites, the Hebrews, if they had gone into them, into Canaan land, before his time. So God doing a twofold thing, a threefold thing, amen. He destroyed the Egyptians' power. Their biggest power over the Hebrews were witchcraft, sorcery, drug use. Yeah, drugs was back in that time. And all kind of familiar spirits, making love to all those idol gods. And the Hebrews was involved in it. Yes, they were. And then turned back around, and he delivered them, brought them over the Red Sea, praise God. But he did it at a time appointed when he had destroyed all of Canaan's, amen, praise God, seized the Amorites, because they were vicious, nasty, unrighteous people that did wickedness until it stunk in God's nostrils, and he had to come in and remove that sin in order for the Israelites to have a chance in the Canaan land. So he had waited 400 years. God don't come in and just up and shoot your enemy or kill them out, but it's a point in time. Amen, praise God. And he told Joshua, he said, when you go in and divide the land, he said, kill out your enemies. Don't kill them all out at one time, amen, but kill them out one by one, 100 by 100, whatever number you have to kill out, because you don't want the beasts and stuff to overtake you. That's another enemy, the beast enemies. But at the same time, he told them, he said, kill out your enemies. Well, when he divided the land, the Israelites or the Hebrews did not kill out all of their enemies. And they began to intermingle with them and begin to take on other gods. And these other gods began to influence them with lies and deception and cause them to walk in error. We, as the body of Christ, Amen. Praise God. We still have that same sinful nature, and it was brought on because down in our generations, in the fourth generation, somewhere down off in there, your grandma or your grandpa said they wanted to serve God, but they didn't kill out the lust, the lies, the committing adultery, the serving only God, because there's not another God, saints. There's only one God. And so it became an entrapment to that fourth generation. Now, some of you are fourth generation people right now, and your forefathers didn't kill out your enemies. And so it was passed on to you down to the third and fourth generation. But today you have a chance to get that straight. And if I were you, I would get it straight. Yes, Jesus and paid the price. Yes, now what you have to do is pray and say, God, if there's any iniquities in me, any sin in me, any unrighteousness in me that hinders me from going all the way to you, I repent. And through prayer, you're going to fight my battles for me, and you're going to get these things out of me. If I'm lusting, fight for me so that I won't have no blemish. If I'm committing adultery, fight for me so there won't be no blemish in me. If I'm stealing, fight for me that I won't steal no more. The Bible says it's better that you get your eyes plucked out or your right hand or anything plucked out that's causing you to sin. If your body is causing you to go out there and have sex without marriage, ask God to send Jesus' blood and heal your body so that you won't sin. Because the curse is going to stay on you because it wasn't killed out. Amen. Praise God. Because of what your forefathers did. Amen. Praise God. So from generation to generation, amen, praise God, that sin was carried on. Mind games, entrapment that Satan does, blinding the mind, making you think you won't love on a two-way street, on the other side of the street. The only love that you're supposed to have is the love of God. The love of God covers a multitude of sin, but it's still a lot of sin you need to get out. The love of God will kill you. It will deliver you. It will bring you forth. It will make and establish you so that you won't have no blemishes. Don't let it follow no more, but put a stop to it through the covenant that you made and the blood that Jesus and shed. Don't bring Jesus to an open chain by continuing to look at lustful things and to do wicked things toward people. Killing people who don't have no reason, just walk up to somebody and shoot them, destroying your babies, killing your babies, thinking you're doing right and Satan done told you to do it. You can put a stop to Satan because he ain't nothing but a wimp. But you're going to have to go in, look back into your generations and say, oh, I remember my grandfather was a drunkard and dad is coming up on me. That's why I drink. I'm going to nip it in the bud. Or I remember, amen, my grandmother was out there homemonging. And I'm going to put a stopper to it because I don't want it to go to the next generation. My son and my daughters are not going to be in prison. So I'm going to put a stop to it at this generation by me not doing things that will cause me to go in prison. But if it was grandmother's life, I'm going to put a stop to it. We need to tear down these strongholds. You need to have to literally go in and begin to intervene through prayer, prayer, prayer. Get on there and pray. Some of you don't want to pray. And these demons are overtaking you because you don't know the truth. The people perish because of lack of knowledge. And he said, my people shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. You have to stop the iniquities that was in your forefathers so that it doesn't travel through your seeds. Fourth generation, the enemy is trying to kill. And I'm going to tell you why he's trying to get to the fourth generation. The Bible says Jesus is coming back. Satan don't know how Jesus is coming back. He don't know if he's coming back in one of your seeds. This is the thought that he thinks. He don't know if he's coming back, amen, in another form, because he's evil. He don't know how Jesus is coming back. But the Bible said Jesus was transformed, transfigured. He's coming back transfigured. That means he don't have to go into a woman anymore and the woman be impregnated, and he's coming back, and the Holy Spirit, all that process has been done. But he's coming back, and Satan doesn't know it. He's acting like Herod, killing out the little babies. Satan don't know. So he's killing us out throughout the generations through deception, through spiritual wickedness, through mind-boggling stuff, through literally bewitching us in the mind so that we can't obey God because we are corrupt in our spirit. You got to get your spirit man right and ask God to fight for you in the supernatural realm where Satan is doing the wickedness with your spirit and your flesh so that you can go around saying, I'm a Christian, and never receive anything from God. Satan want to take everything. He don't want it. He just want to...